another episode of Soundography, a crash course in music, one band at a time. My name is Brian Ibbett.
And I am Hammond Chamberlain.
And we're back to a band here, doing a band, finally. Last week was ska. Ska, that's right. It was a bunch of bands. Yeah, see, as soon as I start listening, binging another artist's music or another band's music or even another year or another genre, whatever I did last week, it's completely wiped out of my mind, which I think is what you want. You want to be able to just go focus on the new, poof goes the old.
See, I have remnants of what we've listened to on me. I have the stink of skank still on me.
The stank of skank. No, let me rephrase that. It's not necessarily that I forget the music I listen to. I just forget when I listen to it. Because I still remember aspects of Reba. I still remember Kanye. I still remember everything we've listened to, but I don't remember when it was we listened to it, if that makes sense.
It does, yeah. And the last few are still pretty clear in my head, but if you start quizzing me on stuff we did back in season one or two, it's mm-hmm. going to be a tough reach for me to try to figure out when and what we said.
Yeah, makes sense. Well, the band we haven't even told people who we're talking about today. The band we're going to be talking about today is the band Ghost or Ghost BC. Let's get this out of the way first. Are they Ghost or are they Ghost BC?
They're Ghost. Okay. They only had the BC on their moniker for like one EP.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. All right. And
I don't know why. I couldn't find a reason.
If the BC stood for something besides
what, the common knowledge,
the before Christ common. Yeah, exactly. Like if it was before concert or something.
Before Copia, which we'll get to.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Okay, could be. All right, these guys are a heavy metal. These guys are a Swedish heavy metal band that was formed in 2006.
Which might go down as one of our newest victims of Soundography.
I think so. Yeah, right, because 30 Seconds to Mars.
We haven't done 30 Seconds to Mars.
Not 30 Seconds to Mars. Who did we do
last? Panic at the Disco. Hey,
remember? Panic at the Disco. Remember when I said I remember everybody we listened to? All right, so
I hear the lead singer from 30 Seconds to Mars is a real joker.
Oh, geez, maybe that's where it's coming from. Just because we talked a lot about Suicide Squad and the upcoming Batman film and stuff this last weekend. Anyway, yeah, might be one of the newer ones we've done for sure. At least one of the bands that was formed most recently, because we've talked about bands that have been around forever that are still churning out new content newer than 2006.
Yes.
But this might be the most recent formed band. Yeah. Sure. Mm-hmm.
Now I'll say this before we get too far into this. This took me forever to like these guys. I would buy their albums, listen, and sit on it and tell people, I'm really trying to figure out if I like these guys or not. And it took me until this listen through that I can actually say, yes, I like these guys. And I think it's not for as much of like the regular reasons as possible. There's other reasons why I like these guys. Musically, it's all fine, but there are other things that I admire about them too.
I'm surprised how quickly I liked them. I mean, I got into them fairly quickly after listening to stuff that you had suggested I check out, of course, some covers. It was such a weird dichotomy between what they look like and what they sound like. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind that, and maybe less so now, less so with the newer stuff, and maybe even less so with the really early stuff. Mm-hmm. But these guys look like they should be doing death metal with a Cookie Monster vocal.
Yeah. And it's funny. I sent you a math equation for what I think they are earlier this week, which was Blue Oyster Cult plus Kiss divided by Spinal Tap.
I think even multiplied by Spinal Tap. They do feel like they've got a real tongue-in-cheek sense of humor about what they're doing, I think. Mm-hmm. It seems like it.
Based on their merch store, I would say so.
Yeah, they do such a good job though of making you question whether or not they're they're joking or serious, and I like that. I don't want to know. I don't want. I would not want to see behind the curtain and you know, it's these guys. Oh yeah, how's it going, man? We're ghosts. Yeah, all right. Let's don our personas. I want to know that they're just like this
All the time.
All the time, or better yet, I want to question that they're just like this all the time. Yeah. I think that's more of it. All right. So, but bottom line, I enjoy this a lot.
Well, I can see why you would like them. Wow, that sounded horrible. I can.
It also sounded like grounds for a cease and desist from our TMS lawyers.
No, I can see why though, because they have a very strong pop edge to them, and a pop edge that is unexpectable, an unexpected pop edge. And I think that's why you took to them so easily, was because there is a pop sensibility to them that is undeniable.
Yeah. I mean, if you strip out some of the heavy metal, and some of their songs are hardly would fall into the heavy metal camp. They're very pop rock styled. You could convince me that I'm listening to Ken Stringfellow or John Auer from the Posies.
Very much so.
Because vocally very similar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's crazy. Crazy, I tell you.
Yep.
Now, if we haven't gotten to it, it's the visuals is what we're talking about. They're identifiable by their unique stage presence. Four of the five members, also known as the Nameless Ghouls, which all of a sudden now they have names, the Nameless Ghouls, are in identical face-concealing masks, like bronze-looking, almost devil masks.
Well, in some cases, and other times they look like those... medieval doctor's noses.
Oh, right. Yes. The alchemists or whatever those are. Yeah, right. Totally. Plague doctors.
Yeah.
Yep. And sometimes they look like the Mamenschans. And if you're talking about old references.
Yes, that's true.
Four people just understood what I was talking about the Mamenschans. The lead singer is distinguished from the others by his various costumes and personas. Papa Emeritus and recently Cardinal Copia. He either wears a mask or face paint, and he can be described best as a demonic religious figure. Each album cycle has brought a change in the appearance of all the members of the band, not just the lead singer, but the rest of the band. The identity of the members were kept anonymous until 2017, when five former members revealed themselves and four filed a lawsuit against lead singer Tobias Forge.
Yeah, the singer is now confirmed as Forge. He's played with other death metal bands such as Repugnant and Mary Gore.
Which would be even funnier if he went by the, you know, out of the middle name Tyler, like if he was Mary Tyler Gore.
Yes. See, you should be in that business.
Yeah, I should be in there. I should be their manager.
and then he was also a member of the band, the Magna Carta Cartel, which sounds like some sort of history gang.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally does. Sounds like somebody you'd go up against in the game with Ezio, Assassin's Creed.
Oh, I was going to say that would be good too. I was actually thinking the Settlers of Catan, the faction that you fight against would be them.
Yeah, there you go. So do we know why they filed the lawsuit?
Yeah. We get into it a little bit later. Yeah. But the gist of it is they were, dissatisfied because they knew that, they were trying to get more money for publishing and for performance.
Gotcha. Okay. After settling on the name Ghost, they decided to put their love of horror movies and Scandinavian metal up front. It took 2 years of planning before the band announced that they were active.
They clearly present as a quote-unquote satanic or evil band. But like we said, but because of their presentation of theatricality and kind of the whole persona they present their stuff with, I'm not sure how evil it really is. I think it's more of them kind of either... poking fun at or even kind of exploiting those stereotypes for their own entertainment and fun.
Totally. And I think you get that with bands that do disguises. They kind of have to set a path and then roll with it.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss is a really good example of that. Brought up Kiss earlier, but the fact that, you know, they came out and it was the demon and the star man,
star child, come on,
star child. I'm sorry. You're right. Star child and the kitty cat. And, they kind of had to take on those personas and just roll with them. And when they took their makeup off, it killed the illusion for so many people. I think that's when they lost a lot of, lost a lot of their fans, or at least their following.
Yeah, I think that all these bands, though, that do masks kind of are taking that lead, too. I mean, we talked about Mushroom Head. They definitely don't take things that seriously. Gwar, oh my gosh.
Great example of, like, not taking it seriously at all. I think The Residents, even.
Even Green Jello, which we covered with Justin.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, it's interesting. I like that, and I hope that there are always bands like this. I don't want to see them ever take up more than 1-2% of the music landscape, but I always want to make sure that there's some out there.
It's a talent, though, because they could easily get shoved into novelty act or something very, you know, I don't know, it could easily to push them off. So the musical talent has to be there to keep their people's attention.
For sure.
But at the same time, they could so easily, they have to fight constantly to keep themselves from being relegated to a joke.
For sure. No, they've got to have the chops to back it up, without a doubt, for sure. All right. In 2010, they released a 3-track demo, really showed very clearly and very early what they were going to become. All of the work and the time and the time spent workshopping really paid off for those guys.
Yeah, it was a very clean demo.
Do you remember, was it songs that we would see on later albums or
EPs? Ritual was one of them. Elizabeth was one of them. All of them ended up on the first album.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. In 2010, they released the album Elizabeth, or actually it was a 7-inch vinyl only release called Elizabeth. And later that same year, 2010, big one for them, Opus Eponymous, which was nominated for a Grammy and widely well received.
Yeah.
They made their U.S. debut at Maryland Death Fest.
It's ignorant.
Ignorant. It was very ignorant of me. Ghost then joined bands like Trivium, In Flames, Opeth, Mastodon on a very heavy touring schedule.
And all of those bands fit because they fit in so many different genres. They could have toured with Kiss and been fine.
Yeah.
And
they were Coheed.
Easily. Yeah. They could tour with Mastodon and be fine. They could tour with Mushroom Head and be fine because of their musical stylings plus their very kind of extreme stage presentation. They can fit with a bunch of different groups very easily.
Right, and even to the uninitiated, you might get some people in the audience who wonder if it's the actual band that they're the headliner band that's just coming out with masks on, you know, like if they're pulling a Chris Gaines kind of thing.
I can say too that Tobias or Papa, whatever you want to call him, he's got an incredibly interesting voice. I'm going to put a sample right about here of him singing.
You're only present when the disease sees no cure. You know that the fog is here, omnipresent, when the intense remains.
And he's got a really just a great voice just on his own without much else. The sample that I played was just a stripped down version of just his voice.
Yeah. All right. In 2013, they released, I'm going to mess this up, Infestissimum. Okay. That's, I've typed it a bunch of times this week, but I haven't said it out loud. Infestissimum. This was their major label debut, and it debuted at number one in Sweden. It won the Grammy for Best Hard Rock and Heavy Metal Album of the Year. Secular Haze was the lead singer, as well as their cover of ABBA's I'm a Marionette, which blows my mind, but more on that later, as you might expect. It was during a live show before the release of the album that Papa Emeritus II was introduced.
Yeah, at the time, it was thought to be the same singer, but as a new character, which has now been confirmed. But at the time, there was rumor that, oh, it's a new lead singer. They're going to have a new, how are they going to have a new singer every time? And I can say that listening through, there are periods of time where it does sound like a different vocalist, but it's not.
Interesting. I love the name Papa Emeritus II. Fans could get the new single on Facebook if they endorsed the election of Papa as the next Pope. The album was delayed in the U.S. because they couldn't find a U.S. company to manufacture the CD. They said that the art for the deluxe edition was a depiction of a 16th century orgy. Instead of delaying it further, they went with the regular artwork, and the offending art was used on the European release and on the U.S. vinyl releases. And I've taken a look at that artwork, and it is indeed a little bit racy.
Yes, it is. But what's interesting is it's no worse than the artwork done on Guns N' Roses' Appetite for Destruction first album.
Oh, for sure. And it's, you know, it's not a photograph. It's drawn. It's, you know, mm-hmm. There's an artistic merit to it. I think there's might just be a little bit of over
sensitivity,
over exaggeration, or over sensitivity. Yeah, for sure.
Also throw this in too. That album cover, there's a strong resemblance to the art from the movie Amadeus attached to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll have to retake a look at that. In November of 2013, they released an EP called If You Have Ghost, and it was produced by Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters fame and Nirvana fame.
Which makes you wonder if Dave Grohl sits in on drums on occasion, because it's a nameless ghoul, so therefore, who knows who's played in the band as Ghost?
Exactly.
I've seen the deepest darkness and wrestled with the gods. I'd hide a noble harness, raining cats.
And that would be something you could see Dave Grohl doing, like, you know, like, yeah, I'm gonna play with a ghost and nobody's gonna know it's me.
Yep. Ah! Except for the cast on my leg. Oh, wait.
That was just once.
I know.
In 2015, they released the album Meliora, which also received critical acclaim from around the world, reached number 8 on the U.S. charts, and again provided a number 1 debut in Sweden. The lead single, Cerise, won the 2016 Grammy for Best Metal Performance, and in an ad shown on VH1 Classic, it said that Papa II was fired, and his successor, Papa Emeritus III, his younger brother by 3 months... Not sure how that works, was taking his place.
And again, this is that sense of humor. I mean,
it totally is. Exactly. I mean, it fits so perfectly with this.
Yeah. And the next one even seals it even further.
For sure. They promoted the album by doing a 5-date acoustic tour, Unplugged and Unholy. Papa III accompanied the Ghouls by playing kazoo at these shows.
And I don't know if you've seen it, but you can find this on YouTube. Darkness rises succubus from the earthen rust. And hear him playing kazoo.
I love it. Heavy metal band with kazoo. Swedish heavy metal kazoo. A second single, Square Hammer, was released along with a new EP called Popstar.
And I think that's Pope. I think I forgot an E. I think it's Pope Star.
Oh, Pope Star is even better. Pope Star. And in 2017, Ghost opened for Iron Maiden. Again, very appropriate pairing there.
I really wanted to see them when they came through Salt Lake, but I just didn't have the wherewithal financially to go. Mm-hmm. And also, I'm old and concerts aren't as much fun as they used to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so true. Let's see. Around that time, they were getting reports that the new album would be much darker. Those rumors were starting to circulate. In late 2017, Tobias Forge was sued, as we mentioned earlier, or we'll go into this further, was sued by former members of the band as part of a royalty dispute, which is kind of funny, a royalty dispute against the Papa. He was charged for withholding financial information and payment. They also claimed that he was attempting to change the group from a band to a solo project with hired musicians. Forge claimed that no legal partnership ever existed. Quote, "Even though I've never wanted it that way, but at the end of the day, that is what it is. I mean, I started in 2006, and no one that was ever in the band in 2016 was even on the first record. Call it solo if you want to, but I call it a project."
Yeah, but here's the thing. No joke, no kind of hems and haws about it. There are a solid, solid group of musicians from head to toe, from mask to boot. They are solid, solid musicians.
They are for sure. You can kind of, I mean, I can kind of see his point too. Just the fact that he's, you know, that the front man, and he's barely recognizable. I mean, he's wearing makeup as opposed to a mask, but he's at least more recognizable and has more job security, mm-hmm. regardless of him being the solo artist of the project, you know, the man who does the project, than the members of the band with masks. It, you know, you could argue his side that it is a solo project and he just brings in musicians for each album, different musicians for each album. Mm-hmm. But no argument. The talent that the bands have, because I say that, you know, the first, like he was saying, the first members on that first EP aren't even on the most recent album. Mm-hmm. So anyway, in August of 2017, the final single was released. He Is.
And he is insurrection. He's spike. He's the force that made me be. He is nostro dispate, nostra amate.
So my opinion on He is if a band like Nightwish or Evanescence did it,
yeah,
it would
yeah.
basically sound like some sort of kind of pissy, angsty love song. But when sure. they sing it, it's all about Satan.
It totally is. It's a capital He Is. In December of 2017, they released their first live album, a 2-disc set called Ceremony and Devotion. And holy cow, the stuff, the interstitials in that thing are hilarious. The things that he says to the crowd just cracked me up. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
During the final show of the tour, Papa III was removed from the stage and replaced with a very aged Papa Nil.
So here's thinking about this now. Yeah. They've taken a lot of effort to create this storyline, this whole yeah. kind of backstory.
Succession. Sure.
It's kind of like what Coheed did, except it's more comical and less written down, but they've still got this whole kind of lore that they've created about these characters.
Well, it's kind of the thing, right? I mean, Coheed and Cambria was, the stories were in the song. With Ghost, the story is the band mm-hmm. and is told with the band as opposed to in the music. As far as I can tell, this, you know, there's no relation to the songs they sing and the secessions of various papas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's all in the presentation, which I actually really like. I do like this, you know, oh, it's my younger brother, 3 months younger. And as we're going to see in just a moment, another new front man, so to speak. Ghost also released a couple of promotional videos introducing the new persona of Tobias, who goes by the name Cardinal Copia.
And there are two videos on YouTube right now where they set up and then introduce Cardinal Copia, and it says to be continued at the end of part two. Yeah. I really enjoyed watching those videos because, again, that sense of humor comes out. They look like they were directed by what's his name from, oh my gosh, Planet Terror and...
Oh, Tarantino?
No, the other one.
Rodriguez.
Yes, Robert yeah. during his Grindhouse phase.
Yeah, I could totally see that.
And there's a sense of humor to them, but it's really funny, and you got to watch these. But the thing that struck me about Cardinal Copia, especially in the second video, is there's a very strong resemblance to the character Father Guido Sarducci from Fridays.
And Saturday Night Live, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, was it Saturday Night Live? Yeah,
it was Saturday Night Live.
I thought it was Fridays.
He was a Weekend Update.
That's right, he was. For whatever reason, I had it in my head, it was Fridays.
Oh, you're trying to give that show way more credit than it deserves. I mean, sure, we wouldn't have Melanie Chartoff or Kramer, maybe. But, yeah.
First time I saw Jefferson Starship before Jane was on Fridays.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Wow. Fridays, man. That whole, you got to go back and watch the video of that whole Andy Kaufman thing where he just completely destroys a skit during the skit, and the other members of the skit have no idea, but the director and cinematographer know.
Okay.
It's really crazy. Anyway, on April 13th, just a couple weeks ago, a new single and video called Rats was released, and an announcement that the new album would be released on June 1st was made. It's going to be called Prequel, with an E at the end.
I hope it's better than the other set of prequels we got.
I think people have now figured out how to make prequels.
Yes. And I will say, based on Rats, it's a great song. And the video is blissfully wonderful. It's very grindhousey. Cardinal Copia is super dancey.
Right.
And there's some brilliant choreography coming out of the guitar solo that makes me laugh every time I see it. And I'm not sure if it's him that's dancing. If Tobias is actually the one dancing, man, he is a talented, talented guy. But because of the masks.
Very live. Yeah, if that is.
Because of the masks, I am I'm wondering if they have like a stunt dancer in his place. Because when you have masks, you can do that.
If you have masks, you have everything.
That's right. Just ask Mushroom Head.
So that takes us through to the current day and that new album just a couple months away on the horizon here, and looking forward to hearing what the new Ghost sounds like.
I'm actually more excited about it now than I have been about anything recently released. I don't get jazzed for music releases like I used to, but this one I'm actually kind of looking forward to.
Sure.
I mean, the new Dream Theater album was kind of a disaster, so I'm really looking forward to something to hang on my hat on.
All right, let me take a drink. Jeez, I don't know why. This is why I have to have drinks in front of me when we record Soundography.
It wasn't a positive comment. It just was a comment.
It was a comment about Dream Banner.
All right.
Tell me about the controversy surrounding the band.
Okay, so based just on their image and the way they present themselves, sure, their themes have been problematic for the band, especially in the U.S. While recording Infinitesimum, they could not find choral singers that would sing their lyrics. They were in like Tennessee. And so they had to take their whole gig to California, to Hollywood, to find singers that would sing the choral parts, you know, from Year Zero, which are, you know, where they're saying the different names of the devil.
Sure.
We mentioned the artwork earlier. You know, I don't understand, when did the United States get so prudish? Because I feel like that was something that wasn't a thing.
This is such a innocuous thing. It's just, you know, it's would be no problem. It seems like it would be no problem otherwise, right? Yeah. And this is interior album artwork. This is like, you don't see this on the cover of the shelf at Walmart. Mm-hmm. You get the thing home, you open it up, and then you see some of the stuff. And again, it's, you know, it's a couple topless women and that's it.
Yeah. It's a strange thing. And I didn't know this still happened. I mean, I kind of figured as consumers, we had moved beyond that in a way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But speaking of that, a ghoul during an interview actually said that they have been banned from a few major U.S. retailers. Which probably means Walmart. Well,
there you go. Yeah. Which means Walmart. Yeah.
Because I bought.
You don't have to immediately assume that that's who would have a big problem with this.
Yeah, because I bought the live album at Best Buy. So, I mean, they're not having a problem with it.
Yeah.
Then also they had problems. They had very few late night shows that would even play them. And most commercial radio won't even play them. Which is, again, I really, in this day and age, with as popular as Ghost is without commercial radio play or a lot of commercial radio, you'd think that people would be playing them. I mean,
they could, you could almost take a Ghost album, slip it into a sleeve that has just a regular looking rock band on the front. And again, no one would ever know, just because it's the music doesn't sound like the persona that they're, that they present as. And yeah, it's a bummer.
It really is. It's very strange. Like I keep saying, though, I really thought we'd outgrown this as a, as a musical culture, and as a, especially because they're not taking it seriously. If you pay any attention to what they're actually doing, none of this is serious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But they did get to perform on Stephen Colbert's show on a Halloween themed episode in 2005 or 2015. And it was their first US TV performance. And if you watch it, it's actually pretty good. They do a great job doing the performance with Colbert. It's on YouTube.
Cool. I did watch that. That was great.
And then my favorite piece of information that I found is there is a heavy metal themed restaurant in Chicago called Kuma's Corner. Now, on a personal commentary note, it's now on my list of places I want to go and eat at.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. just based on that information alone, I want to go. But they've added a burger recently, and they call it the Ghost. And the recipe is a goat shoulder, red wine reduction, and a communion wafer.
I like that they maybe slip a communion wafer in there, too. Goat shoulder. I mean, that actually sounds like it should be a heavy metal band name, too. Goat shoulder.
Yeah, but they all they do is ABBA covers.
Yeah. I'm sure. But that does sound pretty good.
Yeah. Local Catholic
Church. Maybe a little
gamey. Yeah. Local Catholic churches have called it tasteless and demanded them to remove the item. The owner acknowledged the controversy and said that he respected all religions, but he did not remove the item, calling on the First Amendment. But to kind of, I guess, make it better or add fuel to the fire, he donated $1,500 to the local Catholic charities of the Chicago Archdiocese.
Oh, well, that's very cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
So, I mean, it's a win-win-win. Everyone gets publicity and support. So it works. But I want to go eat at that restaurant in all kinds of bad ways.
Yeah. I know. I wish I would have known about that before I went to Chicago a couple of years ago. I would have looked for it, unless it's newer than that.
I think it's been around for a while, just based on the fact that they can add new menu items like that. I mean, it feels like it'd be older than just a few years.
Right, right. Very cool.
So I want to put their popularity into a little bit of perspective. They've released four albums. Or I'm sorry, they've released what, four or five albums? Let's see.
It's hard with all the EPs and stuff. I wasn't sure which one was an EP and which one was an album. But
it's been like three, let's say four albums. Okay, they've been nominated for Grammys with all four albums. They've won three.
Wow, that says something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean... You win 75% of the Grammys that you're up for, I think is a good sign. Mm-hmm.
They won the Metal Hammer Golden God Award for Breakthrough Band, which I love the title of that award anyway.
Right.
And then they were also have been nominated and won numerous Loudwire awards and tons of other things. I didn't want to spend a whole 20 minutes just going through all their stuff, but they're obviously recognized and well-regarded, not just by fans, but by critics alike. So all this kind of hate and discontent for their image is kind of unfounded, because if you just open it up and listen, you're going to get a very different experience.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Very good. Yeah, really, really enjoyed their music this week.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's say that you're seeing Ghost in concert. Have you seen Ghost in concert, by the way?
No, that's like I said. I missed them.
They came through Salt Lake City. That's right. Yeah. Anyway, let's say you do get the chance to go see them in concert. What song are you guaranteed? What is their Stairway to Heaven? What's the one song you know that you're going to hear? And you're a lot more familiar with these guys than I am as far as what's a hit. They don't have a Ghost's Greatest Hits album, but the live album gives you an idea of the songs that are perennially on their playlist, and some of the EPs repeat songs that you hear in other places. You kind of get an idea of what are the band's favorite songs to perform, and what are our choices here?
So I picked Year Zero because it's a great concert opener. I mean, you can just hear the chorals breaking out across the auditorium or the arena. Then there's Cerise. Square Hammer is a great one for concerts. Ritual or or there, I mean, there's so many others, but I tend to think that Cerise might be the one, just because, again, it's got a very distinct video. It seems to be a song that everyone tends to really like. Mm-hmm. There's a YouTube channel called Dirty Vegas, and it's these two guys who do like reaction videos, and they did this one. So if that's the song they picked, then I feel like that's something that everybody would pick to listen to. So that's the one, sure, I'm going with, is Cerise.
Okay. All right. I'm going to tell you that Cerise is number 9 on the list, wow, of most frequently played songs in concert. I'm surprised by that, too, because I would agree with that. And I may even be talking a little bit more about Cerise in just a moment or two. Ritual, the most popular song done in concert by them.
One of their oldest, so that makes sense.
That's what it lends itself to. Con Clavi Con Dio, number 2, Year Zero, as you mentioned, number 3, Moonstrand's or Monstrand's Clock, Per Aspera Ad Inferi, Stand By Him, Prime Mover, and Goulet Zombie Queen, rounding out, and Absolution, rounding out the top 10.
Okay, well, good, I'm totally understandable. Yeah.
The cover that they perform the most in concert that isn't one of the ones on their album, because, of course, If You Have Ghosts, is number 16. Here Comes the Sun by the Beatles, number 26 on their list.
It feels like years since it's been here. Here comes the sun.
And I would love to hear that. Now that I know that they do that, I'm absolutely going to try and find that on YouTube. Because that's better than any other cover, which is our next section. That's better than any other cover that I could come up with that they would do.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Here Comes the Sun. I love it. Next is the section where we talk about what we'd like to hear them cover. And for me, you know, thinking about the band and the persona, for one, but also the vocal style. A lot of their stuff is minor key stuff. And even when they do covers like Missionary Man, they take it from being in a major key to a very minor key, into more like, you know, the sharp angled chords that they have in there. And but I still would like to hear them do Blank Space by Taylor Swift. I think that kind of along the lines of the I'm a Marionette cover, I think that would be a really brilliant one to kind of showcase, A, taking something that's in a relatively major key and minorizing it, first of all, and also just some bizarre content. I mean, they've covered ABBA, they've covered Roki Erickson, they've covered Eurythmics, but for this, it just feels like it would be such a different thing.
Yeah.
But still within their wheelhouse.
It's a great choice.
Yeah.
I'm actually kind of embarrassed about mine now.
Oh, you shouldn't be. I like your choice.
I picked Alan Parsons' Eye in the Sky.
Which I really like. I like, I can hear this too. It's great.
Okay. It's got all of the elements of a song that they would pick.
Yeah.
It's got, I mean, all the things that make that kind of song for them perfect, because they can make it ominous very easily. I mean, it's already kind of an ominous sounding song.
It's theatric, mm-hmm, so they don't have to inject any of that,
yep,
artificially into it. It's already got that aspect of it.
So I would love to hear them sing this, because it would change the context to something creepy and fun. Mm,
for sure. No, I like that. I like that a lot. Very good. Get on it, Ghost. Get on it, Tobias. all right. Now we get to our playlist. This is where we each pick five songs and combine that. Normally, if there's a greatest hits album for the band, combine that with a greatest hits album. There is none. So, I get to kind of play around with songs that are apparently popular that I had no idea
were actually popular. I think this might be a greatest hits album that we're putting together. This is a pretty good list.
This would be pretty good. Yeah. So if you're brand new to Ghost, and I'd say 99% of you probably out there are, this playlist will be a great starting point. You can find this playlist, by the way. You'll hear snippets of it now, of course, but you can find it on our website in the show notes for this episode. First song that I'm pulling for this list is Waiting for the Night. This is from that EP, If You Have Ghost.
And there in the steel, all that you feel is tranquility. There is a star.
It's just beautifully melodic and really surprising. You look at the album cover and there's no way you can assume that this is what these guys sound like if you've never heard them before. It's a really, really good song, and it's just so surprisingly harmonious and touching and good. It's really good.
Yeah.
My next one, we've talked about it here, and I think it's the song they performed on Stephen Colbert. Cerise from the Meliora album.
I feel your presence amongst us. You cannot hide in the darkness. Can you hear the rumble? Can you hear the rumble?
This is Arena Anthem Rock at its finest, and it's super theatrical. I think more so than some of their other stuff for me. I feel like this is like at the very top of their theatrics. There might even be like a one act play associated with this song that we don't even know about.
So the video for this is a very 70s looking, almost horror movie kind of feeling video.
Really?
And okay. The font on the, when they say the name of the video and the song, as they go into it, it actually, the whole thing presents almost like it's a subsection of the movie, The Omen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, that's awesome. Very cool. Next one, I've talked about it a little bit. It's I'm a Marionette from the Infestissimum album. Really, guys, come on, make it pronounceable. At least Led Zeppelin gave us Zoso, right? Come on.
Yeah,
you just wouldn't expect to hear an ABBA cover from these guys. But listening to this and listening to the original, which is, it's a deeper cut. It's not something you're going to find on the ABBA Gold Greatest Hits album.
I don't even think ABBA would even remember making this song, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think you're right. But you listen to it and you compare it with this version, and it's like, oh my God, the Ghost version, they figured out the secret sauce to that song, and it's slathered all over.
Mm-hmm. Jimi Hendrix'd. They Watchtowered this one.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, I'd say that's a great example. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. The next one is Idolatrine, which is also from that same album.
Idolatrine.
His name I won't butcher anymore. This is just a really damn powerful song that made me take notice. I listened to it a few times. I couldn't really pinpoint what I liked about it. I just like it. And it was one where I looked up from what I was doing, listening to it, and said, I like this, and I put it in my list.
This also has some of the strangest word choice in it, I think, where you find words in that song that you don't typically hear in music. Just some of the word choices in the lyrics are pretty interesting.
I like that. That's one of the things that I really like about Skritti Politti, mm-hmm. is that you've got a song where they talk about hermeneutics, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've got a new hermeneutic, and I've got a new paradigm. And those are solid, those are words you never hear in music, never hear in rock and roll. Note to self, add Scritti Politti to the soundography list. And finally, my last of my five in the playlist, If You Have Ghosts, which is from the EP called If You Have Ghost. Notice the plural to the singular. Yeah, it's another cover. Roki Erickson did the original.
One never does that. You can call it surprise, there it is. And a part of it is me. One never does.
It feels so appropriate here. It's like when Brian Wilson covered Brian Wilson by the Bare Naked Ladies. Mm-hmm. It feels like this was a song they were meant to cover, and they cover it so well that if you were unfamiliar with the original, you'd believe this is a Ghost original.
So does that mean that the next album they cover Michael Jackson's Ghosts?
there are a lot of Ghost songs that they could cover, aren't mm-hmm. there? I guess yeah. so. Yeah.
I always feel like somebody's watching me.
It's not really a ghost.
No, but
it's
that would be a
Peeping Tom.
Yeah, that's weird. Okay, never mind.
But a Peeping Tom could cover that.
Yeah. Get on that Peeping Tom band.
Yeah, hurry up with that one. All right, let's hear your playlist.
I started out with a cover. I started out with Missionary Man. It was actually one I kind of claimed early because I kind of figured if I didn't get one cover, Brian was going to pick them all.
I was going to take all of them. Probably was, actually.
So I kind of claimed this one early.
That you must understand, you can fool with your brother, but don't mess with a missionary man. Don't mess with a missionary man. Don't mess with a missionary man. Don't mess with a missionary man.
It was an unexpected cut, but perfect cover for these guys. Did they use the original Annie Lennox vocals in the background?
I don't think they did.
Sounded a lot like her.
Yeah, it does, but I don't think it's the actual Annie Lennox vocals. They're a little bit of difference.
And you get a win because they still use the harmonica. So there's that. He does play the kazoo. Yeah,
Really turned that chord, the chords on their ear in that song.
Yeah, they did. It was great. The next one I picked is Square Hammer. This sounds like it's from another era of music. It sounds like some sort of alternate universe 1970s kind of song. And it's got this really dirty kind of chuggy guitar. And that single snare that's featured throughout is just striking. And it's just so, it's got such a weird little lead line through it. Whoever is writing needs mm-hmm. to get more credit for the writing and the arranging.
Sure.
If it's Tobias, then good on him. If it's a guitar player that he hires from album to album, great. If he's got a team of writers, let them keep doing what they're doing.
Right. Whatever you're doing, keep doing it.
Yeah. Then I picked From the Pinnacle to the Pit from Eldora. I really, really enjoyed just how messy and dirty the guitar was on this one. Because usually they're a little cleaner, but this one that really gets kind of grungy and crunchy. And I really enjoyed just that little bit of a change in sound from song to song to song to song. So when they do mm-hmm. change it up, it does stand out. Then I picked Secular Haze from Infestissimo. I loved the twisted church organ / circus organ sounds that this thing had to it. But it's all kind of still creepy and twisted and off-putting. And then he comes in with the whispered secular haze, which, I mean, Reba could cover it because the music stops and then he says the title.
There you go. Get on that, Reba.
It's one of their songs that people know them for, and I totally know why.
Yeah.
And then my last one is actually the newest one. I actually went ahead and went out on a limb and claimed Rats from Prequel. It's like grindhouse rock, and the video is like something, like we said, Robert Rodriguez would direct. Mm-hmm. I really, really enjoyed it. This is a song that was stuck in my head through up until this moment of recording. And I'm not ashamed to say that I really, really enjoyed where they're going right now.
Yeah, and as creepy as Tobias is as the creepy bishop or the creepy pope or whatever.
Is that a thing? Creepy papas? Creepy? I know creepy pasta, but is there a creepy papas?
creepy peen? Is that what you think? creepy papa? I think it's even creepier as the Father Guido Sarducci without the hat. Because it's a mask. It's like a really weird prosthetic. It's parts move that shouldn't move and then other parts move. It's really weird.
He's worn that before in other videos, like in Year Zero. He comes in wearing this older bald total prosthetic mask.
So
it's not the first time he's done something where it's almost lifelike but kind of not, but it's a weird look, and I kind of I'm okay with the weird look, but because he's so fancy.
Yeah, for sure. I dig it. I totally dig it. Very good. Well, there you go. You now have Ghost, and you now have everything. It's the third time I'm going to use that joke in this episode. Get over it. I don't know. I'm really surprised how much I enjoyed these guys. So it's good to get them in there. Next week, we kind of stick with the heavy metal theme, although we go to a band that takes themselves a lot more seriously than Ghost does, and that band is Def Leppard.
Yeah, and they're old school. They're back. They have roots back to the new wave of British heavy metal era, and that's the second band now that we've covered that has those ties to the new wave of British heavy metal. The first being Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I'm excited to a point, but I'm also kind of worried to a point.
Ooh, I can't wait to find out why. You want to tell me? Tell me why. Why are you?
Because I don't know what happens after Hysteria, because I stopped listening because the album after Hysteria wasn't great.
Yeah.
And I'm really worried about post-Hysteria Def Leppard.
Well, interesting. Yeah, it's funny because it was during that whole popularity boom of Def Leppard in the 80s that I started listening to them. And so I'm curious to see what their older stuff sounds like.
Old stuff I love. On Through the Night. Yeah, that's great. It's the stuff that's like post 92 on that I've got worries about.
Okay, interesting. And I know they've got a brilliant cover album that I can't wait to talk about.
You're just going to claim that whole thing for yourself now?
Just planting the flag in the entire album right now. Mine.
I wish I did a show about something that I could claim flags on.
You do. And you do when you do the notes. You get to plant your flag early and often. All right. That's going to be our next episode. Def Leppard. Stick around for that in a week's time. Until then, get a hold of us. Talk to us. Email us at soundographypodcast@gmail.com is the way to do that. Follow us on Twitter. We're at The Soundography. Of course, soundography.com, our website. That's where you can find most of our stuff. As a matter of fact, all of our stuff is right there. Every previous episode we've done, as well as the show notes for every single show, which include a link to buy the music you hear on Amazon, a link to the Spotify playlist so you can listen to the music that we like and suggest, as well as a link to our Patreon where you can help support the show. Throw us a buck or two every month. We'd love it if you did. And you become our bosses. And the more money you give, the more you get to boss us around. he can become our big boss and actually choose a show that we do. And we'll even have you on as a guest at the intro. That's going to do it, though. Go check it out. Any reviews? Leave them. You can leave them on the show site, the website. You can also put them on iTunes or Stitcher or Sketcher or Spreaker or Squeaker or Stretcher.
Podcast Alley.
Podcast Alley. Vote for us on Podcast Alley. We really need those likes. Anyway, wherever you put your reviews, go ahead and put them in there for us as well. That is going to do it. Hammond, anything else to add?
Boo.
Because of a ghost, right? Mm-hmm. I get it. On behalf of Hammond Chamberlain, this is Brian Ibbett saying thanks for listening. We'll see you next time right here on Soundography.
Is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.